Well, brothers, maybe we can start this session. We have to have a hard stop at 4. Everything cleared out, so we actually need to finish a little bit before. That would be
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock is good. Okay, all right. And sorry, because of that, we're not going to have a break. So if you need to do something, just feel free. This is an awkward place to be because I feel very distant from you. I'd rather be standing there. But because they have rigged up all the video and such, and so I'm stuck here, so I hope you would be okay with that. Now, I just want to check again. Are you okay from this morning speaking? Okay, no one is like just kind of discouraged or what. I received much speaking from the Lord while I was speaking. Maybe I'm going off again here. I've never seen this matter of the tent becoming consummately the New Jerusalem. The ministry has spoken about this, that it starts with a tent in it, and the New Jerusalem is God tabernacling among men. So that is the final tent, the consummate tent. But the first tent was Abram's. It started there. Abram being the father of faith, of us all. By the way, he is not just the father of Israel, but he is also the father of the New Testament believers, because he lived as one of the first patriarchs in a pre-law age. Okay, we usually associate the Old Testament or God's Old Testament economy with Moses, with the law. And of course, that is a big part. But don't forget, he did not live in the age of the law, but pre-law. He actually lived in the age of promise. And actually, law, the age of the law, was something that was added. It was not really in God's plan as such. It was brought in, you know, through the angel, through Moses, mainly on the one hand, to make known to Israel people of who God was. It's a testimony of God. It was a photograph of God, the law, to reveal God's attributes, God's being, God's heart, God's ways, and so on and so forth. It was not supposed to be something for them to keep, but they, in their kind of a fleshly and natural concept, said, we will do this, we will keep the law. And by doing that, but he was in the promise, and that promise was God's plan. God had no giving law for people to keep, but God's heart was fully man, right? Starting with Abram, with a land, with seed, and so on and so forth. Of course, that is very much a predicting. The seed of Abraham. you know, the three seeds of the woman promised to in the days of Adam, and the seed of Abraham, and later on the seed of David, all point. And so and promise eventually would to grace, and that is the age that we're in today. So the Old Testament period is actually a as a sort of a so Abraham is our father as well, not just the physical biological father or ancestor of the Jews of the God's work to gain an elect for himself and to mingle himself with that elect, which is his economy, to work himself into his elect and making this elect one with him. And this elect would become not only his people, but also his kingdom and his, of course, his expression on this earth and also his representation. This is God's purpose. And so in the Old Testament, it was with the physical people, the Jews. And in the New Testament, it would be with the church, the believers, including you and I. So we should have a particular feeling of proximity and relationship with Abraham. In some ways more than Moses, if you understand what I mean. That's our true lineage, right? And so so how our father Abraham lived becomes important to us. So the way he lived is the way how his children and grandchildren would live. And eventually, even as the children of Israel left after 400 some years of tyranny and slavery in Egypt, they actually lived in tents, going through the wilderness back into the good land. And so they build that tabernacle, and by now we should know that tabernacle is actually an enlarged tent, the same tent that Abraham was living in, because that tent is really a place where God would meet with man. That tent would become a tent of testimony, because this is where God is, God's presence is. And that tent would also be the place where God and man would meet for mutual fellowship and communion. And it is through that tent that God is expressed on the earth and would have a people that would be the center among this people for his full expression and rule and reign on the earth. So that tent eventually become the big tabernacle. And that tabernacle is the picture of how the Israels should worship and live and fellowship with God in that tent. So there's an altar there. You know, in front of the tent is of the tabernacle is an altar. So you have the altar there and you have the tent. So those Israel people were living the life of Abraham. In those 38 years or 40 years of a wilderness journey. And then, of course, they settle in the good land. Of course, that tabernacle became enlarged to be the temple. And still in that temple, you have still the altar of the burnt offering there, and so on. And in the New Testament, the Lord came as a tent. This is in John, right, chapter 1, that he came and tabernacled among us full of glory, right? And that, so the Lord became the tent for men to dwell in and a place for men to have fellowship with God. And this tent, which is Jesus, is actually the testimony of God on the earth at that time. Amen. So that's the tent. Now, those disciples who are actually the sons of Abraham, they are all Jews, they found this tent. And although at that time they could not get into this tent, but they kind of followed this tent, they actually became a tent people living there. And this tent is not, the Lord was this tent. And one day this tent went to the cross. And that cross is the altar. Amen. And right there on the cross, you have really these two things conjoined. And there, he was offered as the Lamb of God, as the full burnt offering and the sin offering and so on and so forth to God, take care of God's relationship with man, and even as a worship to God, as a sacrifice. But you have to realize, before he went to the cross, those 33 and a half years, he lived as a tent. Amen. And he lived in a tent. Amen. And he said what? He said birds have a nest and what? Huh? Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. The Jesus never had a mailing address. He didn't have a home. He lived from house to house. One day he was with Zacchaeus' house. Another day he was in Bethany. Another day he was here. He was continuing the tent life because he was the tent. And those disciples were, as it were, living in the tent under him. But then he went to the cross. He was offered up. And then he resurrected. We all know he became the Spirit. And today, as the Spirit, this tabernacle, this tent has enlarged himself. And now, listen, brothers and sisters, we can now actually get into this tent and live in this tent.
Amen.
Are you in Christ?
Amen.
And Christ is the tent.
Amen.
So today we're living in a tent.
Amen.
But not only we're living in Christ the tent, today, by doing this, we live in the way he lived. And he continued the way, that Abraham lived. And so, of course, today, not only that tent, Christ is that tent, today I will tell you the church life, the church is a tent. Actually, the church life is a tent life.
Amen.
And the church life is an altar life.
Amen.
Today you ask me, where is the altar? Where is the tent? I would say, Christ is the cross is the altar, right? And Christ is the tent. Am I right? Christ and Christ crucified is really the centerpiece of God's economy. But our emphasis here, brothers and sisters, not just in this interpretation and so on, my burden is still the lifestyle. The altar and the tent is the church's lifestyle. I can tell you very, very clearly. That's how the church should live. There's a book called The Pilgrim Church. It's a brethren book called The Pilgrim Church. That is the right term. The church should be a pilgrim. The church should be a stranger. The church should be a sojourner on this earth. The church should never be rooted and founded on this earth. If it does, it becomes part of Babylon, which is what Christianity has become. The true church in all these 2,000 years have always maintained a altar life and a tent life. The true church. The true church. And so we were musing a bit over lunch. Where did Abraham get the idea that there's another city? Who told him that? That there's a better country. In fact, there's a heavenly one. I don't know who told him. I don't know where it's in the Bible. And David said, well, even a more deeper question, who told Paul, if he wrote Hebrews, that Abraham knew that? It's not in the Old Testament. Did he get that in a dream or something? I have no answer about any of these. It's just the word of God. So somehow, Abraham got the idea that this is even this physical piece of Canaan, you know, wonderful land promised to him, even that is not the land. That is not his real home. Even Abram knew that. That physical Palestine, right, is not. That there is a better country. There's a heavenly, and he's even said the architect and builder is God. That God is building a heavenly city, and that's where he was going. You know, if you read about Sarah's burial, that there's also hints there that he was looking, that death is just a gateway for the believers of God's elect to the new Jerusalem. Amen. The death is just a passage to that new Jerusalem. So, brothers, we need to live as our father Abraham did, which means we have to identify ourselves as strangers, as foreigners, as travelers and sojourners while on earth. I mean, you have to take that and identify with that. Then you will live in a certain way. By choice. And, this is too wonderful. This is just too wonderful. You say, oh my goodness, I'm stuck with the altar and the tent, you know. What? I mean, that is a wonderful stuck. I mean, who gets to live just with an altar and the tent? I mean, this is where God is. This is where Christ is. This is where God gets his worship, and this is where man gets God's fellowship. I mean, if you're not in that tent, God won't be visiting you. I mean, I don't care what palace you're living in, God have no interest at all. He wants to find that little tent of his people. That's where he will commune with man. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, we may not have a lot of things outwardly, just a little tent and a little altar, but as long as Jehovah is with us, as long as Christ is here with us, as long as we have his presence, brothers and sisters, that's all what it matters. That's the church life. That's the church life. Now, let me continue here. And that is this, that it is by living this lifestyle or living with an altar and a tent, it is by this kind of living as a condition or as an atmosphere that we take part in working out the New Jerusalem. Amen. Or that we become the New Jerusalem. Amen. Let's say you're in Chaldea. You will not leave Chaldea. Do you think you can become the New Jerusalem in Chaldea? Or you go to Egypt, you refuse, you just want to stay in Egypt. You will never become part of the New Jerusalem. Only those who live this way. Can work out and build up the New Jerusalem. So today there is a battle, brothers and sisters, and it's a lifestyle battle. And that is, do you choose the altar with the tent? Or do you choose, what did it say in Hebrews about Moses? He considered the reproach of Christ, which is really Israel. Israel is really Christ. The reproach of Israel became the reproach of Christ. Much what? greater than all the treasures and pleasures of Egypt. So Moses made a conscious choice. He did the accounting, you know, to deliberately leave all those riches and things that is belongs to Egypt, which is a picture of the satanic world with its pleasures and all of this, to suffer along with Israel, with Christ, actually. That's Moses. And so others, men and women of faith, likewise, you read Hebrews 11. By faith, they received the promise. And they believed that promise, even though their eyes did not see them. And many of them died without seeing the fulfillment of that promise. But they were men and women of faith. They believe something is coming. Something better, something heavenly. And this earth is just temporary. This earth is God-forsaken. This earth is will roll up like a old garment. This old heaven and earth will be burned. They look for something eternal with foundation. They look for something much more superior than this. You know, dear brothers and sisters, we're living in this society that everything is so materialistic. You measure things by material. Just outward, material, physical. We have another realm here called the divine and mystical realm. And all this we're talking about is in that realm. And people who really live in that realm adopt a different kind of lifestyle by choice, by their decision, not by default, by a conscious decision, because they see something. They see something. I like this word to reach not just the people in this room, but many other saints elsewhere. Because if we mean business, that these days the Lord would have a new and fresh way in the United States. And I'm going to get into this very quickly here, what that is. That there would be a revival in God's church, the church life. Something that will work out his desire in this age. There needs to be a people who will say yes. This is what I choose. I choose this. I choose this lifestyle where it's every day the altar and every day the tent. I choose to be a stranger and a sojourner. I choose to live this way. It doesn't take many people. Say in the Bay Area here, you have several hundred brothers and sisters who would have this confession and would make this choice. I tell you, a lot will happen. Brothers and sisters, you trust me. A lot will happen. For one thing, God will be here. God will visit. And God will bless. I will bless you. His promise will be fulfilled among us. Not for our betterment, not for our enrichment. Because to fill the earth with sand, with people like descendants like sand of the seashore, that's the Jews. And then the stars in the heaven, that's the New Testament believers. Those are Abraham's descendants. It's not for Abraham. He will be, and he did become the father of multitudes, but that's not for him. That's for God's purpose and need. And I hope, brothers and sisters, you would really receive this. And let's live with the altar and the tent on our way to the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
That's the way. That's the way to the New Jerusalem, is to live this life.